and it's this journey of vision, really.
Yeah.
It's like, I've never let the vehicle control me. And I think that's important, that they're vehicles. A business is a vehicle. And it's like, well, what kind of car am I driving right now? Well, in 3 years, I might change cars, or I'll upgrade this car. I'll remodel it or whatever. But it doesn't own me, because, you know, my identity is bigger than that.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Listen up. For such a time as this, we must grow our faith and business muscles. The self-help industry is trying to own spirituality and well-being. The entrepreneurial space is becoming flooded with business pursuits focused on success instead of sustenance. But the only one who can make us fully whole, fully free, and fully alive is Jesus. So I'm ecstatic you walked into this hypothetical gym today. I'm your trainer, Tamara Andress, also coined an entrepreneurial rabbi, teaching the pursuits of God, which unveil our purpose and ultimately unleash our desired provision. This FIT acronym is for founders, innovators, and trailblazers. Here, marketplace ministers conversate and educate to build others from the inside out while also sharing their testimonies of endurance. So while it's not a fitness podcast, I do surely care about your mental, physical, emotional, relational, financial, and spiritual health. You're going to hear all about it. If you're passionate about your becoming journey, leading others to greatness, and living a life of abundance and joy, then you're well on your way to being fit in faith. Let's hydrate. All right, y'all. I'm so pumped to have my friend Jeremy in the house with you. He is such a joy and a wisdom well. I had an opportunity to dine with him at the summit this past year, actually. Gosh, it's weird to say year, but really it was just last fall. And really to hear his heart and the way that he connected with people, which I found out later is really his MO in all the things that he does, is premised on connection, not just with others, but with the Father. And so I'm so excited to share you with the community today, Jeremy.
So fun to be here. What an intro, by the way. I love that intro. That's like one of the best I've ever heard.
Thank you. So, I love that. Yeah, thank you. Cool. I love the words that other people give you. Like an expert communicator. When someone said entrepreneurial rabbi, I'm like, I need a hat that says that. That is rad. But I don't like it to be the element of identification, because to so many different people, you're so many different things.
That's right.
And so I love not even reading your bio, which I'm not going to do right now. I love the intro piece of how you communicate yourself. And then I'll tell them in the precursor of the show who I see you as. So Jeremy, I'd love to just dive in, because you really have so many different passion points, and you show up for people and in your specific elements in so many different ways. You're a multi best-selling author, so I will say that, because your books are gold. But I want to hear, like, if you were to describe yourself to someone, what's like kind of the key phrases you would say?
Well, it kind of comes down to who I'm talking to, right? I mean, ultimately, to you and our audience here, I'm an encourager. So what I do is God's given me the ability to use business as my platform for influence. Mm-hmm. And so I like to say I let the world fund me to influence it. And the way I do that is I'm a master. I'm a creator. And then I'm a master licensor of that content. And because I'm trying to get people to become healthy and multiply that health. And we know that that only comes truly from a deep, you know, relationship with Jesus. But it's the idea of how do you help people truly see what they're like, what it's like to be on the other side of themselves, and then do something about it in a unique way. And so I just kind of create content and in order to help people encourage other people.
Yeah. And your content is curated also on like visuals, which I really love. There are so many different genres of learners. So you can audibly learn from Jeremy, but I love to visually learn from you. So talk about how you've curated these different ideas into a simplistic model. It's all premised on the foundations of the Bible, you guys, by the way. So if you ever see any of these things or you read one of his books or you're learning even now, understand that that is the root, but it's packaged in a beautiful way to invite people in. It's a ministry. It really is. It's like, hey, let me introduce you to yourself so that I can introduce you to the Creator, whether or not you do it in the outright like that.
Yeah. Well, our brand is called Giant, and that's their main brand. And Giant stands for David, not Goliath. Like David was a real giant. So we have a little I in the brand name. And the symbol of it is really a 21st century learning. And what we figured out, my business partner and I, Steve Cochran, we figured out that most adults are cynical know-it-alls. There's so much content. And so they don't read much. They watch a lot more. So we had to create visuals that could create a common language very, very quickly. And you have to teach it on a cocktail napkin to an educated 13-year-old. If you can do that, it will scale inside organizations.
Wow.
And that's what happens. And so we have about 75 or so visual tools, but we took them from like Romans 12:2. We just put it in a visual.
Wow.
Or Revelations 5, talking about Jesus as the lamb and the lion. We put it into visual, and it's now our most powerful tool that we use to explain leadership. And so, we just took all the visuals. And then when you teach it to someone, you learn it very quickly, then you can teach it to someone else. When you teach, you learn.
For sure.
And that's the science behind what we do.
That's so awesome. And you had a lot of back-end development prior to even doing this for yourself. How did you get involved in understanding, like, I don't even want to use this word because I know it's so woo-woo and I don't mean it in this way, but understanding, like, I don't want to say it, human design without human design, okay? Like the actual human design, not the test. But the work that you did.
None of it is through schooling. I mean, I didn't go for certifications. I've done it through practical. I started coaching people in 1993 in Moscow, Russia. Okay, so I started coaching Americans or international executives that didn't have any other source. Huh. And at a very young age, I started doing it, practicing it, had no idea what I was doing, but I was trying to solve problems. So they would give me these problems and I would just come up with visuals or ideas or language.
Yeah.
And then I started studying the Russian perspective of World War II and the American or Western view of World War II and getting perspective. And then I started understanding the Holy Spirit at a young age. And I started this whole combination of scripture, Holy Spirit, and real life issues.
Wow.
And after then being in private equity and buying companies and starting companies and running companies forever, you know, then you pick up stuff. Eventually, we ended up buying John Maxwell's assets. And then I had a partnership with Pat Lencioni and Henry Cloud and other thought leaders that were just amazing people and doing cool things. But I was learning the 20th century's learning style versus 21st century learning style.
Yeah.
And so my business partner, Steve, we took his work. So long story, it's mainly through pain. And in fact, like the influence model or the five gears is one of our books. The five gears is an issue with what happens when you don't do work-life balance well, when you're overproductive and underpresent. So we created a metaphor that is a sign language and it works. And so people oftentimes will go, well, did you get that validated? Is that coming from some Harvard study? And we're like, no, it came from me missing my kids because I was overproductive being a workaholic.
Mm.
And anyone else know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and then so then you learn like a metaphor that actually works. And then when you use it for 10 years and people around the world start using it, then you go, well, that's validated.
Yeah, now it's validated. Yeah. Thank you, God.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so good. So of all of the books that, I mean, I've heard you speak, but there's so many of them. And it's the knowledge piece of like writing after it's been validated. Is that how you have been doing it?
I think so. I mean, it's like you live it. That's the thing. I write what we live. And so we live stuff. And then, you know, then I'm playing with some stuff, which I can talk to you about what I'm playing with. But right now, we just launched the communication code.
Yeah.
And the communication code is a lovely book. It's so good. It is how to unlock every relationship one conversation at a time. Mm. It unlocks people.
Wow.
But what it does is it forces you to go back in time and see what it's been like to be on the other side of you and how you've misused power or miscommunicated because you've missed their expectations. Totally. So it's a process of learning how to serve other people. So now the reason I state that why I'm excited about it is we've been using it for 8 years.
Yeah.
And it came through my business partner and I just missing each other. So we just wrote about our own story.
Yeah.
Then we built a tool, and then we've been using that tool around the world for 8 years, but it's just now coming out to the world. And all of our giants, people who've been consultants or coaches with us, they've been using it forever too. So the communication code, it's one of the most simple, powerful tools to unlock relationships. Exactly. But it came out of us just living it.
Yeah. Well, and I think about like all the power of relationships on so many levels, not just in partnerships like you're speaking to, my marriage, right? My relationship with my kiddos, the client to client experience, the communities that we're building, but family dynamics, man. I mean, that's a whole element that we're trying to learn in the body of Christ, but then also at large every single day with our like last names, the same family, right? And so I find while I just like Jesus don't have as I have influence in those people's lives, but not in the same way as when I go live. It's like really interesting to me how there can be this like massive miss. And I think what you're saying based on like expectations and just barely missing each other, it's a constant, okay, I want to be a better communicator. Okay, I want to have better relational capital here. Okay, let me invest again to be present where my feet are and not present over there. And it really, when I do that work individually, it's amazing what happens on the other side of like growth connected to organizations and businesses.
Absolutely. But you know, you think about just the dynamics of you and another person. So if you're watching this, you're going, okay, you've got yourself and where are you at in that moment? Mm-hmm. Are you happy, sad? Are you excited? Are you all these dynamics that are your present? But then you have your own personality. You have your own communication style. You have, you know, then you have to match up with another person.
Yeah.
We're working on an app right now that's so powerful because it literally helps you sync with another person very quickly via an app to then know, are you present oriented, future oriented? Mm-hmm. Are you a thinker feeler? All those dynamics around the five voices and personality.
Right.
But it actually goes even deeper into like, what are you trying to accomplish right now? And so that you can slow down to speed up, like slow down enough to connect, to go, are you in the right gear? Are you in the right space for this? So it's just, amazing to see how we miss because there's so many dynamics at play, and the better you get at relational intelligence, the more effective you're going to be as a human. And I'll just say this, Tamara, I find that a lot of people, a lot of Christians especially, they get so frustrated that maybe they're misunderstood. But sometimes it's literally the lack of relational intelligence. You might have something so big and bold and you want to share all this stuff, but was it the right time? Mm. Is it in the right way? Is it, you know, are they the right person? There's just all those dynamics at play.
Yeah. I would love to know, like, from a relational understanding, because I remember several years ago really understanding emotional intelligence. And that was something I really went into this like rabbit hole because I felt like I didn't know me I didn't know how to even process my emotions in a healthy way. And then also to understand, because I wanted to understand other people. We need to, especially as a coach. I mean, I was just chatting with someone before this about how much business coaching is really just identity work. And then the thing that you want to build, the dream that you have, the vision that you have, like that's going to happen because generally speaking, I'm working with Christians who have this vision and it's going to happen, but it's the unlocking, as you're saying, of the personhood before you start building a house. So where would you say relational and emotional intelligence come into play?
So we've taken the concept of relational intelligence and said it's basically sits above it. It's like an umbrella. You need to, a lot of people go after emotional intelligence, but they never do the work of understanding their personality. So if you don't, relational intelligence is knowing yourself to lead yourself, personality. Yep. With emotional intelligence, which was knowing others to lead others, and then IQ, actual hard skills to know how to unlock people in certain time frames. So you might have a combination. You can know emotional intelligence. Awesome. Yeah. But do you know, can you predict your leadership behavior? And we took Romans 12:2 and we created a system on predicting leadership behavior. And I found another tendency. I'm up to 34 now tendencies that I found with partnering with the Holy Spirit about myself. And I know when, what my patterns are, when I do it and why I do it, what my action normally is, what the outcomes of those actions are, and what the reality is that I shape. So I'm working now in grace and truth with the Holy Spirit to going, I know he's fighting for my highest possible good. I know I'm a son of the Most High God. I no longer have a sin nature. I have a sin habit. Yeah. But when I live in that grace and the truth is, Jeremy, you have a tendency to seek honor sometimes. You have a tendency to sulk. You have a tendency to be petty. You have a tendency. These are tendencies of mine.
Yeah.
And we all have them.
Yeah.
But instead of hiding behind them and trying to show that I don't want to see people think I'm weak.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I do. These are tendencies. Here's when I do it and why I tend to do it. But here's the action. Holy Spirit, help me trade up to a different action. Here's what I normally do. Catch myself. Okay, here we go. Jeremy, you're about to do it. Don't do it.
That's so powerful.
Trade up to a different. That's the opportunity where the Holy Spirit works in my new man today, handling my sin habits.
Yeah. Wow. So
that's the process and the journey of being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
But I don't think people have taken it that far. I think Christianese has kind of kept it in general, broad terms.
Yeah.
And we're trying to like, no, massage that into your actual life.
So yeah,
that
your people actual practice of, right. Wow. And is that all of that, the communication code book, or just really at large, all of them? Like, I need to study your walking. And so give me the 1, 2, 3, which I read first.
The five voices is the fundamental, know yourself to lead yourself.
Okay.
It is the core tenet of knowing your personality and almost like your gift mix. And what that looks like. And it's more than just personality. Okay. Personality is a part of it, but it's how you show up. And then their 100X leader takes that and starts putting into emotional intelligence and hard skills. How do I actually lead? And how do I build culture? And we break leadership down and we call them a Sherpa because a leader has to climb while helping people climb. So we're always breaking down jargon down into basic terms that get understood. Mm-hmm. And so between the five voices and then 100X leader, and then you add the communication code, and it kind of wraps it into this relational intelligence system.
We can do this, people. Are you listening to this? We can do this. This is an invitation to do it and to do it well. I think of all of the different businesses that you've been a part of, all of the different people, the thousands of people, tens of thousands, probably at this point, if not millions, as you continue to just step into what God is really calling you into in this season. As a serial entrepreneur, you have a lot of things happening at once. And I consider myself a intentional person who has a lot of things happening at once intentionally. And I want to do those things really well. And people are often will ask the question, how do you do it all? And so when someone asks you that, Jeremy, how do you do it all? How do you respond? And what does that truth for you look like day in and day out?
Yeah. So, all right. So I'll give people the framework. Okay. So I'm going to go back and then I'll come to the, I did it a lot. We used to run the Catalyst conferences, LeaderCast brand, and I had teams. We had about 50 employees and we were managing those brands, John Maxwell, that stuff for a period. And then I'd sell one and then I'd start another and then I would sell those and then start another. And it's this journey of vision, really.
Yeah.
It's like, I've never let the vehicle control me. And I think that's important that they're vehicles. A business is a vehicle. And it's like, well, what kind of car am I driving right now? Well, in 3 years, I might change cars or I'll upgrade this car. I'll remodel it or whatever, but it doesn't own me because you know, my identity is bigger than that. So fast forward. So now we have like 7-8 different entities. Okay. And so practically, I'm not CEO of any of them.
Yeah.
So that's how I can do that. I have teams and I have a CEO or a partner or a leader over every one of them. So I'm showing you. So I run them on Slack.
Yeah. Okay.
So I go, okay, there's Giant, there's our Catalyst community, Better, Six Summers, The Farmstead, Summit Pack, Billion, Yes Factory. There's different ventures.
Yeah.
And so inside those, there's a leader usually of all of them. Some of those are family members, like my son and my wife. We run a wedding venue and event business, and my wife runs that. Cool. And my son has a company called Six Summers, and he runs that. And then he and his sister have one called Yes Factory. They run that together. So it's a portfolio approach.
So good.
So now I'll get to the actually how. The way that we do it is we built a roadmap.
Yeah.
Where we actually have our business model, and that roadmap is always being worked on. And it's basically, this is the plan. This is the model.
Yeah.
Then we put funnel and then lead magnet as a part of it. So we've got marketing and sales and operations baked into that one sheet. And I then voraciously work as kind of system architect to make sure where are we and then where are we with each company.
Good.
This company is, they've got the lead, the funnel and the lead magnet down. But our issue is X, or we need to hire someone, or, and so I'm just kind of working on where are the holes, and I'm filling in holes of those plans, but I'm working towards systems. And then I get to the point, I'm like, okay, we're undercapitalized here. We need to raise money for that. We've got to move this one out.
Yeah.
And then some of the times, like we built a neighborhood, I'm sitting in our neighborhood. We have 21 houses. We built an intentional community called the Farmstead. And it's like a California modern farmhouse.
That's
and
awesome.
It's got like a common gardens and community house and all this stuff. And once we were done, it was about 5-6 years of my life as one of the things. But now I live in it.
Sure.
So I'm not doing anything other than being a neighbor, right?
Sure.
So some of those businesses
fluctuate.
Yeah, like I'm done. I don't. My role is complete.
Yeah.
So
that part excites me. I think a lot of people build things that like, and I'm learning this myself because I've been guilty of it, not knowing that I was building a company premised around myself, and that it required me all the time.
Yep.
It required my face. They don't want to partake in the action of the business, even though that part's really, really good, unless I'm the one doing it, unless I'm the driver, unless I'm the friend, unless I'm the voice, unless they're getting access to me. And I'm in the process of removing that from being the case. And it's causing a lot of friction inside of the company, a lot of tension even within myself where I am doing that internal work of like, well, why don't I like this? Why does this shift feel uncomfortable? Why did I enjoy it the other way? And this feels a little bit more isolating. And it's such a journey. And yet at the same time, I have like 6 other projects right in mind. I'm like, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. This is in process. I'm building this board. I'm building this executive board. And it's fun. And every day is wildly different. And I love that. And at the same time, I want to make sure that I do each of those things with high integrity, with excellence, because I feel like that excellence exudes the Father and while staying in touch with my pace and his rhythm and my family, and my kids are still little. And so that's kind of a tension point for me. And I'm watching other people build businesses on themselves. And so I'm trying to extrapolate that for people so that they don't get stuck in that place. And it doesn't own them, like you said, at the gate.
I you're spot on. And I'm going to share with you a rhythm that I do every single day. So if you're hearing this, to go, how do you stay sane?
Yeah.
What I do, honestly, this has been probably three and a half years now. Every morning I do a call up session. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just a quiet time. The quiet time might come after this.
Yeah.
But the call up session is I remind myself who I am. Mm-hmm. And I do a little ritual in the morning, literally, of like, okay, dude, Jeremy, you're a freedom fighter. You're a liberator. You activate people. Your job is to activate. And I call myself into the mm-hmm. position of authority that I am as a son of the Most High God.
Yeah.
So by doing that, it's literally, I'm like literally calling myself into a role, almost like I put on the badge and gun, the deputy. Yeah,
for sure.
Of like, I've been deputized. Okay. Not literal gun, but I mean,
yeah,
put
on, I got you.
But I'm putting on power and authority.
Yeah.
Is really good. What I want to know. I have authority. Yeah. I also have power. So step into that so that I don't allow worry, anxiety, fear have any place at all.
Yeah.
In my morning, especially. Then when I hit the shower, I'll do people of peace. I pray for people of peace. It all comes from, this is all from Matthew 10.
Yeah.
But it's, Lord, bring me the people who want me to serve today. Mm-hmm. Keep me away from those you don't.
Yep.
And it's like, who am I working with? And then I pray over my meetings that day mm-hmm. with power and authority. So I'm ready for them. Then I go do my deal, my business. I'm doing my work at about 5:30. My watch will go off at 5:20. And it'll say examine. And it's I've kind of modified Loyola's examine, but I do it every day. I do, what was I grateful for today? Mm. And I kind of thank the Lord for them, or I'll text a person.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is I go, where was I off today?
Yeah.
Like, where was I not at peace?
Yeah, that's good.
And I've actually already done that because I had a moment. I did it at lunch. So, but I'm like, where was I not at peace? And that's how I found my tendencies. Oh, you are kind of being petty here. Why was I petty? Oh, this is a pattern. This is their action. And I play that all the way around. And that's how I find my tendencies. So then the third thing I do is I pray over my day for the next day. So I'm at peace in the evening because I've already put to bed all of the issues and I keep really, really short accounts. So my night is usually full of peace because I've already dealt with it around 5:30. So that's what I do. Sometimes there's some things that make it through and I'm still frustrated.
Sure.
And so when I go to bed, I'll do this rest in peace prayer and it's kind of like a meditation and I'll pick something. I'm like, choose joy, choose joy, choose joy. And my subconscious, my conscious is turned off, but my subconscious is still on. So I'm planting it with a seed or a scripture or a praise or some phrase. I go to sleep. And when I wake up, I go, what was my word again? Oh yeah. Choose joy. And it starts my day because I planted the seed the night before.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
So that's how I do manage my day.
Yeah.
And by doing that, what I'm doing is I'm basically saying, I am a son of the Most High God. Yeah. I want to keep that relationship here. I live in the kingdom of God while I'm in the kingdom of man. Mm-hmm. I have to have a daily system to deal with the pressures of, this world.
Yeah.
So that I also am not like, I don't want to dig up the old man. The old man's dead. I'm a new creation.
Yeah.
So how do I keep in line and keep in step with the Spirit? And that's kind of some of life hacks that I've done for myself.
I love it. And I love it as a, like a life hack. I think what I perceive a lot of people doing is when they go to sleep, they feel like they're either wasting time, which is why people will not get sleep and they'll end up working harder and doing more in those times when the whole house is asleep. So this is my best writing time. And you're like, I don't know that that's actually true. And to understand right. that God is not asleep when you're asleep. And so it almost is like activating him in that moment of like, hey, I'm resting my eyes right now. You're still activated in the spiritual realm. And so I want to choose joy. And so it allows you even in your slumber to be at work with the Lord. That's something I'm really intentional about when we do our family prayers at night. It's like, what do we want to accomplish tonight when we go to sleep? Where are we going is the question I ask my kids. Where are we going in our dreams? And it's like, I'll meet you there. And it's like this sweet little sanctification moment of like, we understand that we don't have control in this moment at all. It's all up to the Lord, but we have an intention and we set an intention to release what happened that day and to step into what will happen tomorrow.
And so if people ask, I have that in chapter 8 of the Peace Index book.
Yes.
Because people like that. So it's chapter 8 of the Peace Index book.
It's so good, Jeremy. I'm so grateful that we had you on the show today. And just to process with someone, I think a lot of people have chosen this life. And I don't know if it's because it's an indoctrination. I don't know if it's because it's easy. But I would not say that people just live easy lives based on this choice. But the choice that I see is like a one track only. Like, this is where I'm at. This is what I've been doing for 30 plus years. This is what I'm going to do for another 20 years. And I don't feel bad for them because it is a choice. But at the same time, I want to, like you said, I am such an activator. I want to see them live out the fullness of life rather than just this one choice that they think is the end all be all. How do you not make people feel bad in that, but invite them into a bigger mindset?
So again, I use symbols and I use to share it. I have this concept called X's and O's.
Uh-huh.
An O is somebody who works for other people. They trade time or money.
Yeah.
It's called a J-O-B.
Mm-hmm.
And that job can get bigger. You can get a big O, which means I'll become a VP or a CEO. And there's still this trade of time and money. And it's like the golden handcuffs. You get to a certain level and you can't afford to go start something else because I'm making too much because we built our lifestyle around this income. Then there's this wall called risk.
Mm-hmm.
And risk is entrepreneurship because on the other side is an X. And an X trades time or money, but they build a portfolio.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, it could be a small one thing or multiple things.
Yep.
So the most extreme X example is right now is Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And he has an X of he's running the Boring Company, SpaceX, Tesla, you know, blah, 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 all these different entities. Right. And so he's got, X, Twitter.
Yeah.
He's got all these things. I'm probably like on the middle or far end.
Yeah.
I'm not Elon Musk, but I have a lot.
You got a lot going on. And you have a portfolio. I love it though. It's an ecosystem.
But it's a portfolio. So then you have to jump over the wall. So a lot of people, they're O's and they do an O plus. They had a side hustle.
Yeah.
That's the closest they've gotten to entrepreneurship.
Sure.
And they made it work for them.
Yeah.
But some people who are O's, I'd say it's 90% of the population. Another out of that 90%, there's probably 10-15% who want to be X's, but they don't know how.
Sure.
Because if you think about this, is really interesting. In the five voices, we've figured out that 27% of the population are future oriented. 73% of the population are present oriented.
Hmm.
It doesn't mean that they can't be entrepreneurs. It's just a little harder for them.
Sure.
So therefore they can't envision. So they stay in what they know.
Yeah.
And then when they see like, oh my gosh, insurance is how much a month? $750, $1,000 a month for insurance alone. How are we going to do that? They're going to give us insurance. I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it. So it's almost like if you want to be an X, there is a risk that's associated with it. And then once you get on the other side, you're like, oh my gosh, why didn't we do this sooner?
Yeah.
This was, you know, and some people go back to being an O. The thing is, it's not bad if you're an O.
Sure, 100%. I need a lot of O's to do what we do, right? We need the O.
Really? Because most people, that they're fulfilled in that.
Yeah.
But then the X part is like, it's just a different mindset.
So would you say that those X's have their, obviously a variable personality trait, so they'd be recognized inside of the five voices differently or peace index differently?
Yeah, like I know X's of every one of them. Like we have coaches that are a lot of O's, like the traditional nurturers. Yeah. They're the more, you know, safe, but they have learned how to start a coaching business. They've learned how to build a business.
Yeah.
So we train people that do that as well. It's really not about personality. It's inside of your personality. Be aware that you have implications. Like some people are too risky.
Sure.
You need a little breaks on.
Yeah. And some people, rein them back. Yeah.
Yeah, so just being aware of your view of present and future orientation.
Love that. I'm really excited to start unpacking my own tendencies. So I think just the process of like that reflection, that 5:30 reflection, whatever time that will be for me, and to just process, I have definitely learned in the last several years while operating alongside the Holy Spirit and behind, oftentimes is the moments where I find that emotional space that I was speaking to outside of what I would want it to be, whether it's tension, whether it's worry, whether it's frustration. This past year, I would say the number one thing was this feeling of sensation by being let down by other people, whether it was partners, whether it was employees, and, trying to understand where that came from a leadership perspective so that I could be a better leader in the next scenario, leading myself while also leading others. And I think it's an evolution of adventure. I don't think that I'm ever going to get to that place where I'm like, I've got to figure it out. This is who I am. It's my book title, Always Becoming, right? It's like we're always being invited into that next layer of maturity and with the Lord, righteousness and holiness and sanctification process. From a leadership perspective, what are some things that you're working on right now to become a better leader?
Yeah. So it's different because what are you trying to lead? Right. So I started the year off, you know, in the beginning of the year, I have a theme and I've been working on that theme for a long time. And it's really interesting because I have a coach for myself.
Yeah.
I hired some of our coaches inside Giant and to coach me as well. And so, one of the Amy Hyatt, she's used to work with Pat Lencioni, a good friend. So Amy was helping me and I was like, you know what? I think I know I'm going to fulfill my potential. Mm. I'm going to fully fulfill my potential the way that God's wired me. And I got into it about 2 weeks in, and this just happened last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think that's it. I don't like it. I've been wearing it and I don't like it. And you know what I realized? It was like, I've been working to be a Sherpa. Mm-hmm. Which means I have to climb while helping others climb.
Right.
So I just changed, instead of I want to fulfill my potential, I was like, I want to help people fulfill their potential.
That's good.
I fulfill my potential when I help them fulfill their potential.
That's good.
And that one little shift, it just was like, oh, it feels good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I'm helping my son fulfill his potential for sixsummers.com. Mm-hmm. I'm helping, we have a sports business for Seth and Kevin to fulfill their potential, or our app or Giant or pick my wife.
I love that.
So by helping them fulfill their potential, I'm fulfilling my potential.
For sure.
So
without the same weight or without the same like friction or tension, because it's not focused on you, it's focused on others.
And then what happened was, in that process, but I it all settled. And one of our phrases that I learned when I was interviewing Sherpa on Mount Everest, I asked them these questions and I said, so, okay, guys, how many times have you summited? And they were like, well, Jeremy, that's such a Western question. We don't know. And guys, we don't keep track like that. We don't know how many times we've summited, and he pulls his belt off. Fanuru was his name. He pulled his belt off and he had 17 notches. And he goes, I don't know how many times I've summited, but I've helped 17 people get to the top.
Wow.
And I was like, that's it right there.
That's it.
It's not how many times I've gotten to the top, how many times I've helped others get there, right?
So good.
And in doing that, you're fulfilled because someone, he had to go up and put the rope up for the people to climb.
Completely.
And so for me, it's like the only struggle I have is I just finished my website and it's jeremykubichuk.com and I'm trying to speak and I'm raising my speaking fees because just if I'm going to speak at the level to help Giant. And that's been the hardest one because I'm like, you know, it's that friction. I'm promoting myself.
Right, right.
Fully.
Right.
And how do you do that really well? But I know it helps people. It's so fun. I'm an encourager. People like it. It's,
yeah,
they
you're
leave
so with good things. At it. Yeah.
But I'm like, how do I fulfill, help other people fulfill their potential?
Yeah.
With that one. That's my only one I'm trying to solve for right now.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see because I am certain with all of the other revelations you've had, that's going to come to fruition and you're going to have some amazing wisdom to teach us on the other side of it. Because I honestly feel like that's the number one thing that I would say people struggle with is their own sense of valuation. And it's not knowing their worth, especially in their Christianity, like they believe they're worthy. They know this as a son or daughter. But then it's like, how do I teach somebody else about that? How do I project that for other people? Because most people who do quote unquote ministry, they do it for free. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, something that plagues the church is we expect people to do it for free. And that is actually causing a negative cycle of poverty inside of the Christian culture. I have my COO and CFO that came in last April. She had been in the education sector for 15 years of independent schools. And she's a part of helping us build our academy and all of this stuff. And she had never worked inside of a Christian-based field. And she was so like, she has been, she still is. I wouldn't say the word that's coming to mind initially is disgusted. I think it's more so just disappointed, but there is this sense of like, oh, like people aren't people of their word. They think that they're going to get a cost break. They don't pay on time because they have a testimony that they're walking through. And so I really am passionate about helping people also break that mindset. Have you done any valuation work or financial like development for people to help in that value piece for themselves?
You mean for just them as speakers?
As speakers, I would say just as people in general. Like I help a lot of coaches launch coaching companies.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do that for sure inside. Like I'll call people up and I have this one story. I won't say her name, but she was an amazing person. She had a doctorate. And she is brilliant.
Yeah.
But it was almost like in her mind, she's like, I was doing this for free in ministry or in university. Mm-hmm. And now I'm charging for it? How do you do that? And so I gave her, I'm like, okay, you've been whining about this for a while. Are you done? And I said, I'm going to give you until next Thursday at 5 to continue to undervalue yourself. And I basically said, do you realize all of these companies, they're paying someone. Mm-hmm. It might as well be you.
Good.
So what if you match what they're paying somebody else? And then I actually had some documentation of a few groups that just paid someone.
Yeah.
And I go, so you have until next Thursday at 5. And it was like a week, you know, I gave her a week and she came back. She was like, okay, I'm done. I'm a new person. And literally she raised her fees. She started and she's got now 6-7 people working for her. She's got just a really robust business, but it was her own, you know, it's dealing with the inferiority complex. And I'm saying the same thing because I'm about to raise my rates to rates that I would go, what?
Yeah.
But I'm about to do that same thing for myself because there's always a level.
Sure.
But it's really getting to the place of like, they're paying these other people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That for that?
Yeah.
Right. And so our stuff is so much better. It's so much more sticky.
It's
therefore,
so good.
How do you then step into that? Right. But right. I think it also goes back to like this, like, you know, we may have shared my story, but I had a chance to die in Mexico. I got hit by a drunk driver. It changed the way I'm viewing this world versus the next world. And so it's like, what has to happen for all of us to realize this is not our home? It is the Matrix. We are, there is another kingdom.
Yeah.
And we're revolutionaries for that kingdom.
So good.
And therefore, we're not Christians in like this society. We're kingdom. We're sons and daughters in that society, which makes us followers of Jesus. We might be Christians, but it's like a different way to think about it. And I just watch a lot of people maybe using Christianity as it's a moral code based off of this world.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, no, you're an envoy of that world.
So good. So good. That sojourner word always sits with me whenever I read that. I'm like, yes, I love that so much. We're just moving through and we're inviting people to come with us. But I think the thing that you spoke to connected to that is power and authority. And so how are we waking up day in and day out, stepping into the power and authority of the kingdom of God, of what dwells inside of us, and then seeing where that takes us every day, in humility, in integrity, and all of these other pieces that have to also be aligned for power and authority to make sense for the exterior world as well. And that is definitely something, Jeremy, I've noticed about you and received from you since the day I've met you, is just such humility, such integrity, and yet such power and authority. And it's not often done very well. And so I'm grateful for you and just the person that you are. Thanks. And the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that are affected by the work that you do. I know a fellow giant coach here that you've introduced me to, Eddie Herrera, and same thing. Like, he's got that quiet yet steadfast just strength and resilience. And if that's just a snapshot of all the coaches working for you, y'all are about to take over the world. And I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, and that's it. It's actually just partnership. And it's like the thing that I think I've realized is I don't own it. We don't own anyone.
Yep.
So we went years ago, we kind of went like this, where we were kind of more controlling, trying to figure it out.
Sure.
To, okay, Lord. And we went open source and we opened up and we just started partnering with people and going, bring us people of peace, keep us away from those that aren't.
Yep.
And let's do bigger things.
So good. Flip our hands, y'all. I said last year I had the revelation where the Lord was like, everyone speaks, and this is scriptural, so it's not wrong, but to the like-heartedness and the like-mindedness of Christians working together. I think that there's an element of like-mindedness that can cause people to close in on like a denomination or an idea, which is not God's desire. He wants us to be in that space of creativity. But just like you said, the next revelation for me was open-handedness. So like-handedness as much as like-heartedness. And when we stop clenching our fists towards the thing that we think is ours and we start opening our hands and sharing those resources between brothers and sisters, oh my goodness, like that's where the true power and authority is going to come to play, because the enemy, as well as other people who have yet to step into the invitation, are going to be, what's happening over there? Why are they doing that thing? And so it's a call of the church to operate in this way. And it's definitely evident that you're doing it. So thank you so much. I'm a recipient of said like-handedness.
The phrase we use is it's the law of self-preservation. What am I afraid of losing? What am I trying to hide? What am I afraid of losing? What am I trying to hide? What am I trying to prove? So those three questions. And so I've tried to get to the point of like, you know, I have nothing to lose, nothing to hide, nothing to prove.
Yeah.
And I think if followers of Jesus could live like that, that's what Jesus was doing. You know, he was never defending himself. Mm-mm. He didn't have to defend himself. He never defended God ever.
Oh, good.
He had nothing to hide. He had nothing to lose. He had nothing to prove. He was just trying to set up the change the world system, right? And so we get to be a part of that.
So good, Jeremy. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I know it's going to bless so many people, and they'll have all the links to all the books. Where are you hanging out most these days? Instagram?
Instagram. Yes, probably so.
Good, good. All the conferences to come. If you guys are looking to hire a speaker, I promise you, you will love the way that he speaks and interacts with the community. I think that's my favorite part, is like stage moments are awesome, but it's the way that you engage off stage that made me most profoundly connected to you. So thank you for that.
They're going to say no because they heard that I just raised my rates.
No, they're not, because they're going to walk in power and authority in their like-handedness. I love it. Jeremy, you're the best. Thank you so much thank for you. Being here.
Good to see you.
Be blessed, cheers. Y'all. Hey y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you might even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together, and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out, and thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
I'm Dr. Lauren DeVille, a practicing naturopathic physician in Tucson, Arizona. In my podcast, Christian Natural Health, my guests and I discuss topics ranging from nutrition, sleep, hormone balancing, and exercise to specific health concerns like hair loss, anxiety, and hypothyroidism. I'll also interweave biblical principles as they apply throughout the podcast, because true health is body, mind, and spirit. Listen to Christian Natural Health for free at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcast platform.